CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Josh Rogan, my colleague of the Washington Post, writing most recently about North Korea. Remember? A nuclear power in the hands of an undistinguished dictator, a failed state? Well, North Korea is back, and it's back with what you'd have to say are provocative remarks if we hadn't been through this three or four times. What kind of provocation? They're mentioning their nuclear weapons. They're mentioning how they're a threat to world security. And they're also picking up on some of the propaganda, let's put it this way, some of the releases from Beijing that are meant to disrupt American comedy, such as this quote from North Korea Foreign Ministry. The U.S., where innocent people lose their lives to social inequality and racism every day, where 580,000 people died of novel coronavirus, is itself a human rights wasteland. End quote. Josh, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. North Korea, we've been to this dance. Here we are again, standing, wondering, is the dance different this time? Well, is it, Josh? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening, John. Well, I would say the dance is different in two major ways. For one thing, we have a new administration in Washington, and the Biden administration is, you know, determined to pretend to have a North Korea strategy that has a reasonable chance of solving the problem of a regime that is building more nuclear weapons and more advanced missile technology day by day. And what the Biden administration did is that they held a 100-day review. They announced a 100-day review. And as I reported today in the Washington Post, the results of the 100-day review are now out. And it seems as if what the review has revealed is a very sort of repetition of a policy that we saw in 2009 and through 2016 by the previous Democratic administration, which amounts to leaving the door open for negotiations and hoping that the North Koreans will walk through it. And as you just pointed out, it doesn't seem from the comments coming out of Pyongyang these days that that's what they intend to do. The second major difference here is that the threat is growing, and it's the fact that the threat is growing means that the opportunities and the leverage that we have are diminishing, and it also means that our overall deterrence in the region, which is based on our credible threat of stopping North Korea from committing acts of war with these weapons, is deteriorating, and our allies know that. So, you know, the Biden administration can have a policy that essentially aims for the status quo, but in the end, the status quo is unsustainable, and I think that's the main problem with what they've come up with.
I need a translation for Washington talk from the White House. This is the White House spokesperson, Jen Psaki.
Sure.
That she says the approach, and this is quoted in your column, the Biden administration approach to North Korea, quote, will not focus on achieving a grand bargain, nor will it rely on strategic patience. Okay, that's what it won't do. Is there a positive version of this? It's not that, and it's not this. What is it?
Right. She's essentially making what I call a Goldilocks argument for foreign policy. The Trump administration policy was too hot. The Obama administration policy was too cold. So we'll come in right in the middle. And that sort of presentation is sort of meant to dissuade either side in our domestic political debate from having too much reason to attack the policy. It's a politically safe, risk-averse thing to say. We're going to be open to negotiations, but we're not going to, you know, put our expectations too high, and we're not going to be Trumpian, and we're not going to be Obama. But it gets to the core question, which is, okay, well, what are the plans? What is the reasonable strategy that has a hope of coaxing the North Koreans back to the table? Because ultimately, that's what is going to have to happen at some point in order to get back to negotiations. The North Koreans are going to have to be given something, some assurance, some sanctions relief, some small deal, some offer. Now, of course, you could go the other way and try to pressure them back to the table, but that's not likely to work because there's no international appetite for sanctions. So these are two bad options, and the Biden administration is essentially choosing neither of them, which is why I predict that there'll be this stalemate, which is essentially a return to the strategic patience they're denying.
The region is grittier than it was several years past, even for Mr. Trump's administration. Grittier in that the sharp words between the United States and China are now daily. Or grittier in that the threat to Taiwan is on the front of The Economist magazine, the most dangerous place in the world. Grittier in that the Biden administration is aware that Xi Jinping is no longer hiding his predatory instincts, the hostility towards Australia, towards India. I could go on. You understand, Josh, you write upon this all the time. So it would appear that North Korea is no longer top of the pile of threats. Does that change the facts for the Biden administration? You know, we'll get to you when we can. We got to deal with Taipei.
Yes, and you know, there, you could be, the Biden administration could be excused for making the calculation that it's more important to focus on China than it is to focus on North Korea. And, you know, one of the problems, frankly, with the Trump administration's approach was that our China policy was often held hostage to our North Korea policy. When, if you just think about it, the China challenge is much, much more important, much bigger, and much should be a higher priority. At the same time, that only works so long as the North Koreans issue any more provocations and don't challenge the fact that we're ignoring them by being more aggressive and by doing more dangerous things in order to get our attention. And that's what history shows us, that if we ignore the North Korean problem, they'll make sure we can't ignore them by doing something destabilizing, and we'll just be right back where we started. So, yes, I think it's a very important to note that the U.S.-China relationship is very bad, and that means cooperating on North Korea will be much more difficult, and we can't convince China to use its leverage if they don't want to do what we say in the first place. But that doesn't mean we can sit on our hands, and that's what I think the Biden administration is doing. They're sitting on our hands, and that doesn't actually solve any of the problems. It just actually lets them fester.
You spoke with Jenny Towne, a senior fellow at the Stimson Center, and she points to the fact that the Biden administration, Antony Blinken, and the president have not appointed a chief negotiator. Is that necessary? Is that in the works? Are they looking for someone?
They have no plans to appoint what's called a special representative. In other words, all the major countries in the region have a special representative from North Korea. That's how they do business. It's how the diplomacy is conducted, and we have nobody right now and no plans to appoint anybody. And that is sort of a stark kind of example of a lack of the priority and senior level attention that this issue is likely to get. And of course, inside the administration, if nobody owns it, then everybody owns it, and nobody has any liability, and nobody can really get blamed for it politically, which is also part of their calculation. So it just seems like they're just not into doing a lot on this. And they have, the Biden administration has other priorities. Look at how much diplomatic effort resources are applying to the Iran deal. Now, okay, the Iranians could be a year from a nuclear bomb. The North Koreans have 50 nuclear bombs right now. So you tell me which one is the one that they should focus on.
The other concern is South Korea. President Moon was leading the charge for reconciliation with the North. I know it's a big word, but there was talk at the time. Has he accepted this demotion of the Korean Peninsula for the new president?
No, I don't think he can accept it. And, you know, this is going to be an issue of tension when President Moon gets to Washington to meet President Trump later this month. And if you just think about it, you know, Moon is in his last year. He can't run for reelection, and his legacy is based on improving North-South relations, and he needs the United States to help him do that. And if we're in a stalemate strategic patient situation, well, that really screws him, because then he can't get anything done, and the North Koreans are definitely not going to deal with him before they deal with us. They'd much rather deal with us. So that puts him in a political bind. It puts his party in a political bind, frankly. And when they have the next set of elections, a lot of people in Seoul are going to be looking at the United States as a barometer of whether or not North-South rapprochement is even possible. And that doesn't mean it is. It just means that we're not doing the thing that Moon wants us to do, that's for sure.
To my knowledge, the sanctions from the Trump administration are in place on North Korea and other entities. Is there any talk of changing the sanctions, of increasing them, anything like that, Trump?
Well, again, increasing them, it can really only work if you do that in conjunction with China and Russia, and that's not going to happen due to the politics that we previously talked about. Now, there's talk of releasing them as an enticement, and the administration can find ways to do that conditionally or whatever, and I think that's really what you're looking at. But there's a lot of other ways that we could signal to the North Koreans, if we were savvy about it, that they should come back for talks, that it's in their interest. And that could be anything from humanitarian aid to COVID assistance to allowing more cross-border stuff to occur to help them out in a pandemic that they deny that they're in. You know, according to the Kim Jong-un regime, they have zero corona cases, but we know that's not true. So, you know, if the Biden administration wanted to get creative, they could. It just seems like they don't want to.
And finally, strategic patience was what the Obama administration called their policy. Is there going to be a name for the Biden administration, or we're just going to call it North Korea?
Well, you know, if they don't have a person to run the policy, why would they have a name for the policy, right? It's like they're clearly trying to, you know, get us make it as hard to talk about as possible. And so giving the policy a name, I think, would be, you know, pretty much against that goal. But, you know, the problem is that, you know, whatever you want to call it, whatever they say that they're doing, you know, there's another side of this equation. And eventually, you know, that patience will be interrupted by the boom of a nuclear bomb test.
Right,
and then they're
right.
going to have to do something anyway. So they might as well think about that right now.
Josh Rogan, author of the new Chaos Under Heaven, Trump, Xi, and the Battle for the 21st Century. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.